I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The United States military is facing its biggest recruiting challenge since we ended the draft in July of 1973. The military has a recruiting problem. The Army missed its recruiting goal by about 15,000 new soldiers in 2022, coming up 25% short of its goal. I wonder why that is. Could it be because of this?
Et cetera. I'll obviously have to get much smarter on whatever the theory is. But I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university. And it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage. And I'm white. And I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out. I want to maintain an open mind here, and I do want to analyze it. It's important that we understand that, because our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Guardians, they come from the American people. So it is important that the leaders, now and in the future, do understand it. I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend?
Although, given some of the things he has said in the past, you might want to retract that statement about not subscribing to communism and the fact that he was trying to, you know, work with the Chinese as President Trump was leaving office during the transition might raise some eyebrows as well. But, you know, I digress. But what he was doing there was he was defending critical race theory. Because it's being taught in the United States military service academies. They've introduced some sort of form of critical race theory or anti-racism training. In addition to that, the U.S. Army is putting its soldiers through training on gender pronouns and coaching officers on when to offer soldiers gender transition surgery. This has all been reported. So maybe that's why we're having a recruiting challenge. Maybe that's why, you think? And what does that recruiting challenge mean for the country more broadly? What does that mean for fighting future wars? What kind of people are we recruiting? What kind of people are choosing to sign up in today's military? So I wanted to do a segment about all of this. And I thought to myself, who better than to have the guy who killed Osama bin Laden, Rob O'Neill, SEAL Team 6, American badass, American hero. So we're going to talk to him about his take all of this, also get into Ukraine a little bit as well, and really ask him the question, would you join today's military? in this environment? Would you join it? So we're going to talk to him about that, and also just some of the missions that he's been on as well. We're going to talk to him about that morning a little after midnight when he took out Osama bin Laden. We're going to talk about his rescue of Captain Richard Phillips from Somali pirates in 2009. We're going to talk about being on the team, leading the team that rescued Marcus Luttrell. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that as well. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation. I've met Rob too. He's an awesome guy. So stay tuned for Rob O'Neill. Do a segment about the state of the military, and I thought to myself, who better than the guy who killed Osama bin Laden? So Rob O'Neill, thanks for a notorious badass American hero. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad we finally got to make this happen. Great to be here. Honor.
I know I've been wanting to get you on, so I'm so glad to have.
Yeah,
you
we were exchanging Twitter messages, I think, back and forth. We're gonna make this happen because I think the two of us together we can make a lot of sense of nonsensical issues. So I'm ready.
And Rob, if you've been paying attention, which I know you have, there's a lot of nonsense right now. It's like all nonsense. So
that's what keeps us both in business. Nonsense is just it's in no short terms right now.
It's madness, but we'll try to make some sense of it and bring some common sense. Yeah, we'll do our best. But before we get into kind of the state of the military and how we got here, I wanted to talk to you about that morning, a little after midnight on May 2nd, 2011, when you took out Osama bin Laden.
It was an honor for me to be invited to be part of a team that was the right place at the right time. I was at SEAL Team 6, and I'm a big believer in the butterfly effect. I got there on accident. I made a decision a long time before that to join the Navy because I tried to join the Marine Corps. And the Marine recruiter was not in the office. And had he not been to lunch, I would not have joined the Navy. And, you know, if we fast forward, I would not have done that mission. I would have my daughters. But I got to a spot joining the Navy, a guy from Montana who didn't know how to swim. But I had a SEAL instructor tell me that I know you've read the books. I know you've seen the movies. Regardless of what you've been told, this course is not impossible. People graduate. So I will never ask you to do anything impossible, but I will make you do something very hard, followed by something very hard, followed by something very hard, day after day after day for 9 straight months. And that sounds like a lot to get from now to 9 months from now, but don't think about it that way. That's not how you achieve a long-term goal. Do it like this. Wake up in the morning on time, make your bed the right way, and then brush your teeth. You just started the day with 3 victories. Make it to the 4 a.m. workout on time. As I'm beating you, don't think about the pain. Concentrate on your next goal in life, which is making it to breakfast. After breakfast, your next goal in life is making it to lunch. After lunch, make it to dinner. After dinner, do everything you need to do to get back inside that perfectly made bed. And because you took the time in the morning to make your bed the right way, regardless of how bad today was, and it will be bad, tomorrow's a clean slate, tomorrow's a fresh start, and when you feel like quitting, which you will, do not quit right now. That's not how you achieve a long-term goal. Quit tomorrow. If you can keep quitting tomorrow, you can do anything in life. And that's how I became a Navy SEAL. That's how I got to SEAL Team 6, and then I was invited to be a part of that team. 23 of the best people I've ever met got on the ground, and I've been asked, how do you clear a compound that big? And the way we did it was by mastering the basics. If the guy in front of you goes left, you go right. And I happened to be there. I had a front row seat to the greatest mission in modern history. And I just followed my guys, watching some of the coolest guys in the world go from floor to floor. And I ended up being the second guy going up the last set of stairs. And because the guy in front of me went left, I went right. And there was Osama bin Laden. And I shot him. And it was simply because we went there. We didn't go there for the fame. We went there for the first Americans who actually fought Al-Qaeda toe-to-toe on Flight 93. And the reason they fought Al-Qaeda was to save the Capitol. And the coolest thing about them is that before they fought to the death, they voted. And that, to me, gives me goosebumps right now as I tell you that story. And I happened to be the right guy at the right place at the right time with the perfect team, the best pilots, and the best air crew. And I just did what the nation asked. And that's as simple as it gets.
What was it like to take out a guy who has killed so many Americans, has done so much harm to our country?
It was almost surreal. When the guy in front of me went up the stairs. I was right behind him. I remember, I can still close my eyes and see it. It wasn't, it was more of a, we're going to blow up now. Let's get it over with. And I squeezed him. We went up the stairs. When I saw him, he was taller than I thought, skinnier than I thought. But this, the nation deserves it. It was so surreal after I shot him as a good guy, as an American, when I shot, cause he had his hands on Amal bin Laden's shoulders. He was pushing her toward me and I shot him. My first reaction was to move her out of the way because other Navy SEALs will be coming in the room. And then I saw his 2-year-old son staring at me. And as a father, I remember the humanity thinking this poor kid's got nothing to do with this. And I moved him aside, put him on the bed, and another guy came in the room, and I was standing over bin Laden's body. I could hear him taking his last breath. And one of my guys came in, he looked at me, I was standing there, and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, what do we do now?" And he said, "Well, now we find the computers. We do this every night, hundreds of times we've done this." I said, "Yeah, you're right, I'm back, oh my God." He said, "Yeah, you just killed Osama bin Laden, your life just changed."
Is it just training that kicks in during that? Because how do you think clearly under that kind of, I mean, is it just all of the training that just kicks in? Like,
I don't think, Lisa, it was the training. It was more of the missions we'd been on before, because I think the average guy there had done about 350 to 400 combat missions. We were experienced, so we knew what we were getting into, and there wasn't even fear anymore. It was more of acceptance of what we're going to do. But we've done it so many times. It was just he was just a bigger threat, a bigger target. Even Admiral Bill McCraven. Before we left on the mission, he pulled us aside right before we left. And we're in Jalalabad, Afghanistan. We're going to launch across the border. And he said, "Hey, you know what, guys? Last night I watched my favorite movie. It's called Hoosiers. And it's about a basketball team in Hickory, Indiana. And they went to play the national or the state championship in Indianapolis. And there's 7 guys on the team. And they'd never really been out of that gym, but they went to this huge arena. And they're looking around. They're all starstruck. And he recognized how his team was starstruck. And he grabbed a tape measure and said, "Okay, what's the measurement from the back of the rim to the free throw line?" They said, 15 feet, coach." "Okay, he got a short guy on the tall guy's shoulders. What's the measurement from the hoop to the floor?" 10 feet, coach." And he said, "You'll find these are the exact same measurements as your gym in Hickory. It's just a bigger audience." And he looked at us, Bill McCraven, and said, "Gentlemen, you do this every night. It's just a bigger audience." And as we're leaving to get in the helicopters, I pulled him aside. I said, "Admiral, you're so busy selling this to the administration right now, I really doubt you watched Hoosiers last night, but you were born to give us that speech right now."
Yeah, talk about a pep talk, right?
It was really good. We, like I said, I try to claim we were professionals. We didn't need that, but boy, it sure helps.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I played sports, which is not even comparable with obviously what you guys did. But, you know, those things do help because it gets you in the headspace and you know, it gets you ready to go out and get in the game, so to speak.
So I think playing team sports as a child is important for life. I'm a big believer in it. I talk to professional football teams, NFL, all the time. And I tell them, it doesn't matter why it's 2nd and 15. It just is. Time's ticking. Let's go. Come on. That's it.
Well, I was actually captain of the lacrosse team, but...
I did know that, by the way, too.
So I probably should have... But you led the rescue teams for Captain Richard Phillips from the Somali Pirates in 2009 and also the team to rescue Marcus Luttrell. So you have seen some things in your life.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes, and I don't know where to give credit, but something I heard was, "Wherever you are, be there." And if you apply yourself... You can find yourself in situations. So I was on the mission to find Marcus Luttrell. I was the lead jumper. I actually left Virginia Beach on Good Friday, April 10th, 2009, on my birthday for my daughter's preschool tea party. And 15 hours and 46 minutes later, we jumped into the Indian Ocean, rescued Captain Phillips from Somali Pirates. So it's just apply yourself. The realization that doesn't matter what you look like or where you're from, you can do anything you want. You can find yourself in situations, but apply yourself. And that's it. And I happened to be there a couple different times. My brother actually was messing with me today. I was talking to him, and he said, "I remind him of Forrest Gump, only I don't have a shrimp boat."
So you're basically just at your daughter's tea party, and then they're like, "Yeah, so get ready. We've got something big for you."
Yeah. I had a pink plate in my hand, and she was 4 years old, and I was putting smiley face cookies and cupcakes on a plate, and I walked over and I got a text message that said, a guy by the name of Captain Richard Phillips has been captured by Somali pirates and your team is going to go get him now. And what's so cool about that is, so that was 2009. I was at SEAL Team 6, which is the counter-terror team. SEAL Team 6 was designed to rescue American hostages at sea. It had never been done since 1980, 29 years. It had never been done. And we jumped in there. And if you're not familiar with the story, it was a Navy destroyer towing a lifeboat with Captain Phillips on it. We didn't go there to kill those guys. We jumped in to rescue the hostage. We simply put snipers on the back of that boat to watch them to make sure nothing unsafe happened. As we were preparing for the rescue, something very unsafe happened and the sniper shot. And the coolest thing about that, those three snipers 4 days prior were in their own beds in Virginia on a long weekend. We've never done this. Their guns did not need to be sighted in for the most difficult shots of their lives, but their guns were sighted in for the most difficult shots of their lives because they were prepared. And one of the lessons I tell my guys is complacency kills. Don't get complacent. Don't rest on your laurels. The worst thing you can say is this is the way we've always done it. And I would tell my guys before mission, guys, don't die because you got bored. Do everything like you do everything.
Well, and I know what sighted in means now because I am now officially a gun owner and have been shooting guns over the past couple of months. So I'm more familiar.
Good. Do you have a shotgun at home? That's the best. I tell my wife all the time, that's the best deterrent is a shotgun, because as you're walking down the stairs, if someone breaks in, if you could hear a shotgun cock, nothing else sounds like that. That's the best thing you can do for yourself.
So, Rob, we're doing baby steps. I just got a Sig Sauer 365. So we're going to start with like a concealed carry. We'll start there. And
no, yeah. Sig Sauer is my favorite too. They don't sponsor me yet, but they should. I've fired a Sig Sauer P226 probably a million times in my life, and I love that gun. I know how it works.
They should absolutely sponsor you. But yeah, it's my favorite so far. So we're starting small, and then maybe we'll. But I have shot an AR-15, and it's very easy to shoot. So
it's amazingly friendly. It's a great gun. I love that gun. And then, by the way, it doesn't stand for assault rifle. It's not that. That's not, even though the liberals say that to us, that's not what it stands for.
No, but I do like it. So maybe if I was to get one, I would, and it would also just make people go crazy, which I would appreciate. So, but
I think it'd be awesome. We should actually, you should get one, and then you and I can go shoot.
We should do that regardless. That would be a lot of fun. I'd love to
Perfect.
Do that.
Yeah.
Quick commercial break. Back with American Badass Rob O'Neill.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans, and yet there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You're talking about sort of this, you know, camaraderie with your team and working together as a cohesive unit. And what we're seeing in the military right now is, you know, a lot of this woke stuff like critical race theory and all these things that actually drives division. What kind of impact do you think that has now on the military and moving forward?
Well, it's a huge impact because you got to figure, put yourself in the shoes of a young man or woman that potentially wants to join the military, but they're seeing the negative repercussions of joining. They're saying that it's white supremacy. It's a negative thing. It's the same thing as trying to be a cop. They're saying all this bad. Why would you want to do that? And it really impacts them. When we have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley, saying he doesn't understand white supremacy, but it's got to be there. That's nonsense. And the way that I've seen it before is, I think we're all in agreement that you shouldn't be racist. You shouldn't be pessimistic or anti anything. But that's the conversation you need to have with them. Here's the thing: that's bad. You're an asshole. Don't do it. But they're spending all this money, wasting their time training people on what they should already know. Because when I first joined the Navy, the first thing they do is they put you in the same uniform and they cut your hair, because there are no individuals, and that's it. You're not there to represent yourself. That's it. One team, one fight. And I realized the first day that we're all from different places, but we're all scared. And it doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a company or the guy that went in Bin Laden's bedroom. We've all had our first day, and we're afraid, and that's okay. That's fine. And it's one team, but they're just bringing this negative political nonsense that doesn't need to be there when we should be concerned about deterrence, forward defense, and alliance solidarity. And they're taking away from it. And you're seeing that the Army, I think, was below 15,000 recruits this year. And the only branch of service that's staying up is the Marine Corps, because Marines are just awesome. And that's it. But they're taking away from what we should have in the military. And these politicians don't really care, because all a politician cares about, especially a congressman, is the next election. So they'll spend 18 months out of a 2-year term on the campaign trail. That's it. And then they'll say this nonsense to get someone else to whatever. And it's really affecting what we have in the world. Our deterrence, our forward defense, like I said, our alliance solidarity is dwindling just because of these politicians. It's nonsense.
Well, and it's also like, okay, so I was reading that the U.S. Army is putting its soldiers through training on gender pronouns and coaching officers on when to offer soldiers gender transition surgery. And it's just like, the way I look at that is, if you're a bad guy, right? Like, if you're Iran, you're terrorist, you're ISIS, you're whatever. I mean, aren't you like looking at that as weak? That this is the focus of our military?
Vladimir Putin is laughing at us right now. He said that. He said, look at these idiot Americans. They can't even decide what gender they are. And he really is. And I'm a big believer in personal freedom. You know, whatever you want to do it yourself. You don't affect someone else, fine. But we've made such a big deal out of it, especially the media. I'm not even sure what the media what they're gaining out of this nonsense. But Vladimir Putin's watching. Xi Jinping is watching. And it's like it or not, it's making us weak. And they're taking advantage. Look at what Vladimir Putin did in Ukraine. He's invaded Ukraine right now. He's annexed so many parts. And Xi Jinping's going to invade Taiwan probably before the end of the year. And there's nothing we can do about it. We're begging Saudi Arabia for oil because they know we're weak, because they look at the way we're talking to each other, and it's complete weakness.
If you were young Rob O'Neill today, would you still join the military? Would you join today's military?
What I would... I've thought about this a lot, and I get asked that question quite a bit. If I had to redo
it. Darn it. I thought it was unique.
No, it's good. I think I would probably, if maybe a freshman in high school, I would tell Rob O'Neill to get straight A's and get into the Naval Academy and learn how to fly jets. I would definitely join. But the best advice I had for myself, and I'm just breaking it down, simplicity, master the basics. If I could give 15-year-old Rob O'Neill any advice, that advice is this simple: ask her out. Take the shot. That's it. Take the shot in life. And I don't mean, you know, either him or her, man or woman. Ask her out. Ask him out, but take the shot. Because the worst thing that happens is she says no, and you're right back where you started, or she says yes. Whenever people say, well, why is that good looking girl dating that ugly guy? You know why? Because he took the chance. He asked. Take the shot. But the point I'm getting at is in life, take the shot.
You had mentioned the recruiting challenges. So the armed forces is facing its biggest recruiting challenge since the military draft ended in July of 1973. As you mentioned, Army missed recruiting goal of about 15,000 soldiers, coming up 25% short of its goal. Recruitment challenges sort of all around. You know, how do we reshape that? You know, what do you think's behind that? Why aren't people wanting to join the military right now?
I think it's the wokeness. I think it's the, I think that masculinity is being shown as weakness, and you know, you shouldn't try to be a part of this more. I think it's the two oceans on our left and right, the Atlantic and Pacific, have given us too much freedom, and we don't realize the bad stuff. There's bad people in the world. And they want to do us harm, and we need good people to defend us. And the unfortunate thing is, when it comes to, I mean, I have nothing but faith in this country, and I know that good men and women are joining, but I think right now it's kind of being cast over because of stuff like Minecraft or TikTok or what China's doing, sending spies into our schools, NYU. I don't know how many spies are in New York. And it's just, The bad thing is, once the day comes where we need to defend ourselves, we do have the men and women there, but it I don't want it to take it something to shake us up, and I think it might. That's it. But you know, I have faith. I'm an eternal optimist. But you know, we're close to that day, and it's going to be. I mean, look how many on both sides of the aisle. Look how many congressmen, how many senators, the president, talking about nuclear holocaust when they don't quite realize what that means, what the collapsing of the ozone layer when 4,400 nuclear weapons are detonated in Russia, China, the West, and the United States. It's a very real thing, but I do have faith in a lot of our people. I just think one of my favorite quotes is from Babe Ruth. He said, the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. So we're hearing the loud mouths on the left and the right, but I think most of us in the middle, I consider you and I in the middle, I think that the reality will set in. It's going to be a hard price to pay.
Do you think the standard should be, if you are not willing to send your own son or daughter to that specific war, then we shouldn't go?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's a tough one too, because as someone who's been to war, as a young Navy SEAL, when we invaded Iraq, I was so excited to go to war because I will kill anybody. But now, you know, pushing 50 years old, I kind of look back and realize that a lot of people are making decisions based on politics. I think that war is nasty. War is violent. War is fast. And it's permanent. And I don't wish it on anybody. I've seen so many people in combat zones that a lot of people don't realize that most people are just trying to get on with their lives. Most people are good people. Some of the most welcoming people I've ever met were in Ramadi, Iraq, when I was in their house, getting mud on their floor and looking at them thinking, I understand why they hate us. Like, we shouldn't, most of us shouldn't be doing that stuff. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we will need those people that, you know, and the parents too, that will send their kids to do that stuff.
There were no consequences for our military leaders with the botched Afghanistan pullout or lying to us about that drone strike that ended up taking out an aid worker and his kids. What happens when there are no consequences for failed actions like that?
The only officer that was punished for that was the lieutenant colonel, and I forget his name, sorry, but he came out on Facebook and said that they shouldn't be doing, or YouTube, and said they shouldn't be doing this. Someone needs to be held accountable, and he was fired. The only person that speaks up against the system. Everyone else is scot-free. There's no repercussions at all because nobody gets held accountable because, again, 24-hour news cycle, and then there's trying to get, you know, the politicians trying to get reelected. 2 months here, 6 months there for senators, and it's just it's nonsense. And it's, you know, how much money can we make from the military-industrial complex to get reelected, to make sure that a lot of these places make more money based on the wars we're fighting? It's a vicious cycle because a lot of the money that we make, you got to figure, DC doesn't produce anything, but they make a lot of money, and then they pay the contractors. The only thing more expensive than war is preparation for war, which we're doing right now, sending billions to Ukraine. And the only people suffering in that are the civilians in Ukraine. But no one knows where the money's going. We spent billions, and maybe four land cannons made it there? No, nobody knows where it's going. No one's seeing it. No one knows what Zelensky's doing. He's an actor in a green room. And you got Hollywood, you know, if he's so under duress, but he's got Hollywood actors going over there taking pictures, nobody knows what's happening. And this is the self-licking ice cream cone, and it's a shame that they're using war to make money, to keep refunding themselves.
Well, we're also just being told nonsense, like Russia sabotaged their own pipelines. Like, why? They already control the supply, right? Like, we've already seen them shut Nord Stream off. We've already seen them shut other pipelines off, turn them back on. Like, they already control it. So why would you sabotage your leverage over Europe? It just makes no sense.
Can't even get an answer out of them, because something happened with Nord Stream. No one knows what it was. And they're asking if it's the United States. They're asking if it's Russia. Nobody knows what's happening because nobody tells anyone the truth. They tell you what you want to hear, and then we forget about it. Energy is the end all be all. The reason that the gas price is so high, the reason that Halloween treats are so expensive, the reason it's so expensive to send your kids back to college, all comes back to being energy independent. And the only person we ever had that went to D.C. to try to get to got us energy independent, filled our strategic oil reserves, with Donald Trump, and he realized the hard way that if you go against the swamp has fangs and it will come at you nonstop. And that's all that happened. Well, you have one guy in there, the only president, by the way, that hasn't started a war, and he got ostracized. It's crazy. If you just stop and look at what is happening, you can see, like, the Lindsey Grahams, Mitch McConnell's, the Hillary Clinton's. It's not the person that's in the White House for 4 years that's the problem. It's the person that's in the Capitol for 50 years. That's the problem. And for some reason, we just keep buying their nonsense. Like Nancy Pelosi, there are people in California that don't even realize she's their representative.
Trump totally reshaped my thinking on all of this stuff, because he really showed us that you can legitimately have peace through strength. You know, like sending those Tomahawk missiles to Syria, or the mother of all bombs. And so he absolutely reshaped my thinking on all of foreign policy, 100%.
Well, look what he did with that Iranian general when he killed him right outside of the Baghdad International Airport. That was a ballsy move to kill him right outside, to show them, I'm not messing around with you guys. And that's what we need, peace through strength. We need the Ronald Reagan that said to Mikhail Gorbachev in 1985 that not only is a nuclear war unwinnable, it should never be fought. The realization, not the transgender pronoun bathroom bullshit. Who is telling you the truth and legitimately cares about you, me, and our families? That's it. And it's not that hard. Once they start spinning this nonsense, you start to get these politicians that talk out both sides of their mouth. All they're trying to do is get reelected. And I really wish more people would, because I think most people are centrist. I really do. I'm more liberal than people would realize, as far as socially. Fiscally, I'm conservative. But most of us are like that. But you get this nonsensical nonsense, which even sounds ridiculous to say it. All they're trying to do is personal power, get reelected, and make more money. Look how many, like Paul Pelosi, oh my God, he's better than Steve Forbes as far as trading stocks, because, oh, that's just coincidence. No, his wife is giving him the insider information.
Quick commercial break. You're going to want to stay right there. Trust me.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air.
For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Well, I think Trump might be the only guy that went to D.C. and came out worse. You know, like they all go to like he because he was already rich. Right. He didn't need the job. You have all these other people like you're pointing out. They go to get rich.
Yeah, he didn't need that. The last thing Donald Trump needed was to be in the White House. But he did it. And he did it for the right reasons, because believe it or not, he cares about Americans. And nowadays, being America first is racist or something, which is nonsense, because every country has a border. Martha's Vineyard has a border, but we don't in the South. And all he wanted to do was border security and freedom to prosper. That's all he was wanting to do. But they start labeling him, because that's what these politicians, that's what these reporters do for some reason. I can't figure it out. I'd love to figure it out, but I can't.
Well, and two, like they're all afraid of him. You know, like Putin didn't try this stuff under Trump. And then one of my friends, and someone was telling me in the military about like Iran took out one of her drones and it made a bunch of news. But they were telling me that if you understand flight patterns, which you probably do, but I don't, this is just what the person told me who I trust. But they were saying that if you looked at the way the drone flies, it was clearly not man. It was not man-crafted, or what is it? It was an unmanned drone because of the flight patterns. And so when they took out our drone, they knew it wasn't manned. So it was like a way to like, quote unquote, retaliate without actually instigating anything further. It was like more of a face saving operation. So like even with stuff like that, it's like they didn't want to really mess with Trump because they knew they'd be on the receiving end of a lot.
No, they understood what Donald Trump would do. And that's what we need as a leader. And, he would do that. President Obama would do that. The two missions that we talked about, when we rescued Captain Phillips and killed bin Laden, Obama was in charge. And because he understood, even though we disagree politically, that South Side politics, don't mess with me or I will do this. And that's called deterrence. And we just don't have that right now because everyone's so worried about, like John Fetterman from Pennsylvania wants to call himself John Fetterwoman, whatever nonsense he's saying in between his strokes to try to sound like someone that's just begging for votes. I think it's a shame. I mean, when we're in a position like that, we're potentially going to put someone in office that can't even hear.
How much of our recruiting challenges with the military do you think comes down to Joe Biden? Like just people, young guys being like, you know what? I'm not fighting for this guy. You know, like he's destroying the country. He hates America. I'm not doing this for him. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
I think it's a lot, because nobody wants to get involved with a lot of this. It goes back to defund the police. It goes back to anyone trying to defend this country is a certain name. And I think a lot of it has to do with that. It's with the borders. It's with it's all that stuff where they're making the people who just want to do the right thing by us the bad guys. Like when we're handing out Xboxes to illegal aliens in New York, homeless veterans are a problem. Nobody wants to be a part of that. It's just a shame. I mean, even though it's political talking points for a lot of these people, it does come back to the individual making the decision, and you can see it. I mean, the results are themselves. Nobody wants to be a part of this.
As someone who was quite literally willing to give his life for his country, how infuriating and frustrating is it to see the deterioration that has taken place under Joe Biden?
Well, the faith that I have is with the engineers, with the pilots, with the people that design the aircraft carriers and the submarines and the missiles, the torpedoes. I know they're out there and I know they're doing the right thing. And again, the noise gets the attention. So we do have good people out there, but we're just cutting it. We're cutting it short of more good people that could be in there. And it's everything from you know, just the way that for some reason a lot of social media are making America the bad guy, and it shouldn't be that way. It is that way until they need us. But it's definitely an effect.
Do you think, was a COVID vaccine mandate an attempt to purge the military of certain people?
I don't know what was going on with that. I was a guy, like I said, when we invaded Iraq, they did make us get vaccinated for smallpox. I took, I don't know how many, 13 or 14 shots of anthrax. And at the time I was like, I'm in the military. They're telling me to do it. I got to do it. I do think they were making a political stance. Again, with the guys in the military, the men and women in the military that said they're not going to do it for religious reasons, that's kind of on you. You are at a point where you're taking orders, so you kind of got to do it. But I think that, you know, now that they are admitting that the vaccine didn't work, I think they should reinstate the guys. But yeah, they were definitely making political points out of it.
Yeah. Well, and then too, like the Florida Surgeon General did some research and studies finding that for young men in particular, it increases the chance of cardiac arrest, I think, by like something like over 80%, which is pretty wild.
Plus, you got to figure too, people in that shape, they're pretty good shape. They don't really need it. They're not in the kill zone.
Yeah, and like probably not good to increase heart issues for guys who are going to be, you know, running like a billion miles and, you know, doing some pretty crazy workouts, like stuff that I couldn't do, you know, like. But do you miss serving?
I miss the camaraderie. And like I was saying earlier, I did talk to three of my guys today, and it's just nice to reminisce. Some of the stuff that I miss is the skydive trips that we would go to Tucson, Arizona, do 10 jumps a day, and then go to the Trident Bar and Grill, hang out with Nelson Miller, have beers, and wake up the next day and skydive. I miss that part. The other stuff, we can make a lot of things suck. We make scuba diving suck. We make sniper stuff suck. I don't necessarily miss that, but I tell you what, the camaraderie, the old adage that misery loves company is true, because some of the worst times, some of the darkest times in my life brought out the best humor, and I do miss that. And again, to answer your question earlier, I would totally do it again.
We're seeing, you know, real concerns with suicide rates for veterans. Why do you think that is, and what should we be doing differently to help our veterans?
Post-traumatic stress disorder is real. And a lot of the stuff that we were sent to do, they asked a lot of us. And it's okay. And I tell veterans right now that if you're having a bad day, just call someone. But if you're having a good day, call someone, because they might be having a bad day. And the isolationism and just the realization, some of the stuff we did was bad. And it's not normal. You know, there are people that I think about every day that I killed, that I fought in Iraq, and the only reason I killed them was because they grabbed a gun. The only reason they grabbed a gun is because I was in their room. And had we met, you know, the only reason I shot this guy is because we were born on different parts of the planet. Had we met somewhere else, would we have gotten along? Would he have been a funny guy? And I think about these people. You know, a lot of people did a lot of bad stuff, but you're not alone. Just, you know, get out there, talk. So get outside. You wake up in the morning, get outside, see the sun, and call a friend, and you're not alone. I see too many of my friends kill themselves, and it's not, it's definitely not worth it. Like I said earlier, the clock keeps ticking, time keeps going, and it will heal everything. You'll be just fine. And I mean, even if like, even on Twitter, I'll tell people, give me a call. I'll talk to you.
You know, you always hear guys talk about, you know, boots and suits. Do we need changes in terms of people like Mark Milley, who's the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff?
Yeah, and that's an easy fix, too. The problem is there, what I always say about the military brass is when you get to a point where you're not carrying your own luggage, you need to leave. So we shouldn't have four-star generals in charge. We should have majors or a lieutenant's colonel in charge. People that know the sergeant, that met the sergeant major, know the master chief, that talk to the people, that realize the pulse of the men and women on the ground. They're promoting themselves out of work, and they're so. These are people that when they go to the VA, they call a week before, so the VA spit shines everything, so they just see the best version. I want people to see us at our worst, because you don't learn from success, you learn from failure. And guys like Mark Milley are just so out of touch, and they're surrounded by yes men. They're surrounded by people that simply tell them what they want to hear so that they can get their job eventually. And that's a shame. That's just typical with government bureaucracy everywhere. So have the lower ranking man or woman immediately in charge, and they'll handle it fine.
Would we win a major war right now?
Yes. We would, just because we have so many smart people that are controlling the satellites and the ships and the subs. China's got a bigger Navy than we do right now, but we are designed to destroy big militaries. And so I think personally we could beat Russia and China at the same time in a matter of days. And we're not going to announce that, but that's just the way it is. That's the way we're built. And like I said, too, with nuclear war, it's not even worth talking about, but that's, well, nobody wins a nuclear war. But yeah, we can win all of it, yes.
Rob, you're a badass and an actual American hero. Is there anything else you want to leave us with before we go?
No, Lisa, I really appreciate you having me. Definitely check out the Operator podcast. I just did episode 11, and I talk about stuff like this. And the way that I break it down, I call it the Operator podcast because I used to be an operator, but everyone's an operator. The single mom raising her kids, the guy that takes out the trash at 3 a.m. in New York City, the plumber, those are operators making life better. And I break it down operator to operator, and I talk about stuff just like this. So I appreciate you guys checking that out.
That's awesome. Thanks for your service, Rob. You are a badass, and you're awesome. I've met you before. You're a great guy. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Yeah, you made my day. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you.
Was Rob O'Neill, SEAL Team 6 hero, took out Osama bin Laden. I've met him before at Fox. He's a really good guy, really great guy. So I appreciate his time. And I appreciate you guys listening to the show every Monday, Thursday, but you can listen whenever you want because that's how it works with podcasts. But would love you to leave us a review, give us 5 stars on Apple if you wouldn't mind. Want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting this together as always. Until next time.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.